We are back.
Yes, we are. We're going to need a bigger pod. Welcome. I'm John Brown.
I am Paul Marsh.
And it is the film podcast that is mostly operated by middle-aged men that moan.
Me.
Mainly one.
Me.
Just one.
I like to moan at things, and then I love it when I'm completely wrong and I get to turn around and go, do you know what? I was completely wrong and that was really, really good. It doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't happen often.
But I do like it when I get to do that.
There were times that you were very, very right as well.
Mm.
So, you know.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife that.
Swings and roundabouts.
Right, so it's another busy show as always. We're going to be looking at what's going on in the world of film and a little bit of TV as well.
Yeah, a lot of TV.
We'll take a very, very quick brief look back at the Emmys. We're going to look at some new trailers. And by the way, these three trailers that we're going to be talking about, all three look very, very good.
Interesting.
Very good.
Interesting.
We're going to be reviewing what's out at the cinema, going to be reviewing streaming, both looking forward and back.
Oh, you've seen Poor Things, haven't you?
I have seen Poor Things.
I'm the only one left. You and Sean have seen it.
You're the only person in the world
that hasn't seen Poor Things.
Of course, we'll be looking at digital Blu-rays, but the big one that we're going to be talking about at the end, of course, is our top five.
Oh, this is so hard.
Of the most anticipated movies of 2024. If you thought naming your tip top five favorite films of 2023 was tough,
because at least you've seen those.
The anticipation of these films in 2024, and there's so many good ones. And we're going to hear very, very briefly from Neil Lynn Powell, who is in One More Shot, which is out right now.
It is out right now with Scott Adkins, the
legend. So we'll hear very, very briefly from him as well. Of course, we heard from him very, very briefly last week talking about Little Bone Lodge. And we're going to hear from him again this week talking about One More Shot. So why don't we begin?
Yes, let us begin. If you want to follow us on socials, you can do that at Need a Bigger Pod. You can catch me on at John Brown TV. That's at J-O-N Brown TV.
And I am at Paul Swampy Marsh across all social media, every single one of them.
Thank you. And thank you so much for all your feedback and for getting involved in the Tip Top 5s. 2024 is off to a massive start for us, and we truly appreciate that. We've just been having a little chat off air about what 2024 looks like for the pod. Pleased to say, it's business as usual with a twist. Lots more exciting things to come this year, and we can't wait to bring them to you.
No, I think 2023 went far better than what we imagined, and we're both really looking forward to 2024.
Yes, we are. Bigger, better, louder. It's my motto for the year.
So obviously it is the middle of award season, isn't it? We are smack dab bang in the middle of award season. They're giving awards out for everyone and everything.
I think so much so that we actually, on our screens, or you have the screens right now, but on our screens we've now just put a section that says awards this week.
Yeah, this week's awards.
Yeah, there's like awards every week.
Yeah. Of course, it all sort of leads towards the Oscars, which is in March, on Sunday the 10th of March.
The grand finale.
Which is, of course, like you say, it's kind of like, even though, you know, the real year starts in January, this is kind of like the end of the film year, isn't it? You know, once these come out, that's when you restart again kind of thing.
Yeah, end of February and then March, which is... The spring also is usually the time when we begin the cycle all over again. And we're seeing a lot of the usual suspects being sort of rising to the top in terms of awards, the same three or four movies, for example.
Yeah.
They're now in the conversation permanently, which is great, by the way, because what that means is download sales, DVD sales, you know, cinema admissions are shooting up for those titles in particular, which is fantastic news.
But the thing that some people, depending on where you're listening to this right now, if you're listening in America or somewhere else other than the UK, you may not know this, but the Oscars kind of, I don't know, there's something and nothing in the UK because, mainly because of the time they're on.
Yeah.
Which is what, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, something?
Well,
early hours of the morning, isn't it?
Yeah. Most of these things, for you guys in the States, obviously, it's a television event, isn't it? Because you gather around, it's like 6, 7, 8 in the evening, you get the red carpet stuff at the beginning. We do it here with the BAFTAs, obviously. You know, and our BAFTAs
Are
done by like 9, 10 o'clock or whatever. It's the same in the States, it's just for us, we're a bit forward. So we have to stay up. So I remember when I used to be invested in the Oscars without any fail from about 93 until a couple of years back. I was fully invested in it. We'll have more on this later, but as to why that is, because it went somewhere else for a while and then loads of people's kind of stopped because it was subscription only.
Yeah,
it? And when it was on the BBC,
yes, and
so I used to stay up all night.
So that's the other thing is, yes, it's been on Sky for a few years, and some people do have Sky, some people don't have Sky. But again, like you say, it's a subscription thing. But the great thing is it's back on ITV, ITV1 and ITVX.
Yes.
So they have sort of released what we can look forward to in the UK on the actual evening itself from 10:30. You are going to be able to join Jonathan Ross on ITV1 and ITVX as he is hosting the live show. From ITVX exclusively from 9:30, Ross King will be broadcasting directly from the event. So that's always good to hear. And then the good thing is, again, because we say the time that it's on, because it's on ITVX, which is the streaming service of ITV, it's going to be sort of available right the way throughout the day, so you can watch it maybe the next morning or the next afternoon or whenever you want. It's going to be again right the way through until the Monday as well. So, but they're going to build up the season, if you, or the week certainly, from Tuesday the 23rd of January, by showing a lot of the Oscar nominated films
on ITVX,
ITV1 and ITVX. Yeah.
See that as well. I imagine. I'm assuming that Oscar-nominated films that have been out a while, like from
the Januaries
stuff,
that will be out now. Yeah,
broadcast window, I guess. But with ITVX, that ITVX is a streaming service from ITV, so that essentially makes that slightly more easier to make, I guess, stream newer films.
And I was talking about this the other day, funny enough. I was talking to somebody and I was saying, you know, if you remember a few years ago, cinema was dead, right? Movies were dead, cinema was dead, and now it's bigger and better than it's ever been. And this type of coverage is only gonna help cinema across the country.
I think there are gonna be like folks like you and I that were big fans of the Oscars, especially when I was younger. I used to be absolutely mesmerized by them, and I think you're going to get a lot of returning UK viewers now because of the accessibility of ITV. And like the days of the BBC, more people now are going to be making a night of it, which is interesting. But I'm certainly looking forward to getting back on that train and sort of staying up and watching the Oscars. And, you know, I miss that, really. I used to absolutely love it. But I do remember sort of drifting off to sleep about 5 a.m. after it finished. And then it's funny because I'd used to do this thing where I was on the sofa and I'd do this little snooze between sort of 4 and 6 and wake up. And of course, the morning news cycle had started.
Yeah.
And you got all the highlights of everything you just watched. And yeah, it's funny because you see it from a different perspective then, don't you?
It's funny because as soon as you said that, I'm a massive NFL fan. As of course, Super Bowl and things like that is exactly the same time frame. It's all, you know, midnight till 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. So yeah, you always get to those last hour and you start to struggle a little bit. Yeah,
but that's what it is, isn't it? The Oscars is the film Super Bowl, really. And that's where we're at. But I think, like you say, there's ITV really getting behind this now that they have got the broadcast rights for the UK.
And that's what it needs, right? It needs, it's not, don't just broadcast the event, stick it out there and then forget it's done. If you're going to have it, it's fantastic to see them really making a big deal of it.
They've heralded this in such a way that they've gone, right, we've got this now, let's make a big noise about it. And they have it. I mean, you and I have both had a lot to do with ITVX over the last year, in that you and I have both done interviews with actors, directors, producers, screenwriters, showrunners, people involved with ITVX at every level creatively. And I mean, just recently, like what has transpired to be probably the ITV's biggest program. God only knows how long, with Mr. Bates versus the post office.
Yeah,
you know, we were across that as well. So it's a credit to ITV, really, that they've really got behind that service.
Yeah, the ITV
not just
service,
for Oscars, but for all they've really,
for everything they've done. They're really, of all of the streaming services, ITVX are knocking it out the park.
They're the one. I think they're working very, very hard at the moment to be in that marketplace, and they're doing well, because if you go onto ITVX, there's so many great movies on there, for example, and things you go, oh, okay, this is something I'd expect of Netflix. And they are competitive, I think, from a UK point of view, they are competitive with the likes of Netflix and Prime and Disney Plus, because they really are going for it, investing in content, series, movies. They're not messing around. They want to be in that marketplace. And they're doing it right, I think, as evidenced by the fact that even we have been involved at some level with doing interviews with a lot of talent coming out of there. So, yeah, long may that continue. By the sounds of things, and I know where that information came from about ITVX, by the way, which is our usual ITVX source. So I'm looking forward to, hopefully, fingers crossed, you and I perhaps doing some interviews of our own in the run-up to the Oscars, not only with the talent involved on this level, on a local level in the UK, but also, of course, we do have some nominated composers coming up soon on Scoreheads as well, which is nice. We've had someone already. Daniel Pemberton's been on, obviously, recently on the composer series, at least. And again, talking about streaming and series box sets, obviously, we've got a lot more Scoreheads episodes to share with you over the award season. Quite a lot, by the way, just to pre-warn you. So we're kind of still celebrating the best of 2023 on Scoreheads because we interviewed so many last year. And some of those are still like extended editions and things like that to look forward to. And some BAFTA and Oscar nominees are in that list, hopefully, as well. So, yeah, we've got lots of content to share with you focused around the upcoming awards, which is nice.
Speaking of lots of content, do you know somebody else that's got lots of content coming very, very soon?
Go on.
Is Chad Stahelski.
Oh, so yeah, I'm so excited about this. Was this like yesterday or the day before they were talking about this? Yes, so Chad Stahelski has been, as I understand it, has signed a deal with Lionsgate, which, for those that follow Chad's work, will come as no surprise. Obviously, John Wick is part of the Lionsgate family. Chad being, of course, I want to say the godfather of the John Wick franchise now in a lot of ways, because he's directed the last three or whatever, and he's, you know, overseen other elements of the John Wick franchise. So yes, the two most interesting things to come out of this partnership is obviously anything John Wick moving forward, whether that be television or more movies. Of course, he's not directing the spin-off, is he? With is that Ana de Armas? I want to say.
I wonder what you're on about. Yeah,
Wick spin-off. There's a John Wick spin-off movie coming, which is
The name has gone. Let me look this up. Yeah, the name is gone.
Yeah, so it's
is it Ballerina?
I think so. Yeah, so it's set. I think it's set between 3 and 4, isn't it? Because apparently Keanu's in it. So it's set between 3 and 4. But yes, anyway. So he is
Ballerina.
His name would be on the door,
and it's due to come out this year.
In that respect, I think it's directed by Len Wiseman from the Underworld series. But yes, so he's involved very much in John Wick's, lifetime of wherever that goes next. That could be video games, could be TV shows, could be more movies. But Lionsgate have signed a deal with him to say basically, like, let's do more John Wick branded content, whether that be motion pictures, storytelling through television or video games or whatever. And so he'll be across that. But also, interestingly, the thing that's raised a lot of eyebrows and got a lot of people excited is that he will be overseeing the future of the Highlander franchise, which, of course, there can be only one. Well, there can be only one Chad Stahelski, because he's now not only the front runner for what happens with Highlander in terms of more movies and television shows from that particular franchise, but he will be directing the new Highlander film, which is rumoured to have Henry Cavill as the Highlander.
I don't even think it's a rumour. I think it's official. I think Henry Cavill is officially attached to star in it, yeah. And this has been a long time in the works. This has been going since 2016. So to finally kind of get this project moving, I would imagine he's very, very happy.
Yeah, because 2016 would have been Highlander's 30th anniversary. I remember we did stuff here in Express. They did a big campaign for it, and it had a really nice, beautiful remaster for the 30th anniversary. I mean, to the point where the DVD... Bear in mind, DVD is what, 720? 1080 is Blu-ray, isn't it, in terms of picture quality?
Yeah.
Even the 720 DVD was absolutely... Because I think it was all remastered from an original negative to 4K transfer. And the remaster work on the... I remember watching it. They sent us one at Studio Canal, I think it was at the time. They sent us a copy of it, and I was like, oh my God, even DVD looks flawless. Like, they did such a great job with that. So yeah, I'd imagine around that time they would have been going, okay, this 30th anniversary has been really successful. What else can we do with this? And it's nice to see that someone like Chad Stahelski, who is incredibly capable, I think it's fair to say now, with action properties.
Yes, I think that would be an understatement.
Well, he was Keanu's stunt double, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Him and David Leitch, of course, who are a partnership anyway.
He was the stunt coordinator. Yeah,
they do a lot of... But funnily enough, I watched Rambo again yesterday.
Okay.
The 2007 one.
Oh, right,
I think it was originally called John Rambo. And aside from that being, I would say, as good as the first one, interestingly, it was on in the background, and I see the credits. Chad Stahelski was the stunt coordinator.
Oh, really?
For,
okay.
For Rambo. Because I remember sitting there thinking, man, this movie's a step up from the other three, isn't it?
And there could be a good reason for that.
Yeah. I was like, the combat stuff and everything else, it's way more violent than the other three as well. I kind of feel like Rambo and Rambo Last Blood are more horror films than anything else. But anyway, also Lionsgate, by the way. But yes, so it was interesting that his name, it wasn't until he became him and David Leitch. Of course, David Leitch is off to Bullet Train and Fall Guy, which
yes.
we'll talk about.
Yep.
It's nice that now when you go back and watch those old movies from the 90s and 2000s and the credits come up and you realise that Chad Stahelski and David Leitch were involved with a lot of stuff back in those days, and you realise, like, oh my God, it's the director, you know, it's the creator of John Wick.
Well, the one thing I like about the Highlander coming out, which, I mean, looking at it, it's probably going to be next year now, I would guess, 2025. When you think about how old the original Highlander movies are, this is going to attract a whole new audience. And when it attracts a whole new audience, what they generally tend to do is go back and find the originals as well.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that, you know, it's been a long enough period that those that have seen the original are going to watch this and go, okay, let's see where this is going to go.
Yeah.
And then those that have never even heard of the originals can now go back and discover them for the first time.
What I love as well about Chad Stahelski is I know that he works in close proximity from a music standpoint. He works in close proximity with Tyler Bates, mm-hmm. who himself has been in many bands. He was in Marilyn Manson's band. He worked a lot with Bush, for example, and is a great record producer. And it's interesting that it would be great to see him involved with Highlander, because of course, musically, iconically, Highlander was scored by Michael Kamen, who sadly no longer with us, but the songs were all by Queen. You know, so, I mean, and I've heard various rumours on the grapevine, but even about, you know, could Queen be involved in some way, shape or form? Because obviously they were a big part of Queen as they are now, of course.
Yeah, they were
a big part of the original Highlander movie. And could those themes be brought across? Because Highlander had a great theme. Michael Kamen did an amazing theme. You know, what could Tyler Bates do with that? It opens up lots of conversations.
I think the one thing you've seen from a lot of movies that have come out in the last couple of years that have been nods to films 30 years ago, they've done very well because they've paid homage to them. They haven't borrowed, they haven't copied.
Yeah.
They've paid homage to
and
these.
Think,
and like a nod of the cap kind of thing.
I think Tyler Bates taking that on, you know, being the first Highlander was heavily sort of referenced rock in its soundtrack. It was very metal in that respect. Do you know what I mean? Like the whole concept the swords and steel, that kind of stuff. And it was very, very rock and roll. So Tyler Bates being very rock and roll himself, it seems like a perfect marriage for that, given that, as we say, you know, Maestro Kamen no longer with us, sadly, but it would be good to see. I would love to see Tyler Bates take a crack at it musically. It would be nice if Queen came up with something new. That would be great.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
But I think Tyler Bates would definitely enjoy that challenge. It'd be nice to see. But it works with, again, because John Wick, very similarly, very guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, what essentially is happening is that the director of John Wick is taking on Highlander with Superman as the Highlander. And that'd be nice to see Tyler Bates. I'm keeping everything crossed for Tyler.
Make it happen.
Him and his daughter, I think,
would do
incredible work with that.
One of the actors that I am so completely in love with right now is Lakeith Stanfield. Don't get me wrong, I think he's been brilliant for a long, long time, but his role in Haunted Mansion, I thought he was spectacular in that. I really, really did. So it's been announced that he is going to be joining Mark Wahlberg in Shane Black's Play Dirty.
Shane Black, who brought us Lethal Weapon. He was in Predator. I remember first seeing him in Predator.
He was in Predator, was he?
Well, he was in Predator, yeah. The guy
I didn't know that.
The guy with the glasses that tells the joke tell on a podcast.
No.
You know the one about the echo. Do you remember that joke? Everybody that knows Predator knows the gag. But that's actual Shane Black. Now, I don't know if this is absolutely true, but I read a rumour somewhere that him being in the movie was kind of payment for straightening out the script a little bit. Apparently.
Oh, right.
So his
writing
talents go back that far. But I know, anyway, the rumour has it that he was involved in some way of like course correcting Predator as we know it now. It, you know, the version that we know and love. And part of that was, I don't think he was ever credited for it though, but he was credited obviously as an actor in the movie. And then he went on to write Lethal Weapon, of course, which became a huge success. His speciality is buddy cop comedies at Christmas. Yeah, he's so good at things like Lethal Weapon's great. I mean, you look at films like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, superb. I mean, even Iron Man 3. I know Iron Man 3 gets a lot of weird hate. But the thing with Iron Man 3 is what it gets right is those body cop moments between Tony Stark and... is he War Machine at this point? I can't remember. Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Between Danny Jr. and Don Cheadle. And they kind of have, in the final act, they have these kind of buddy cop moments. And that's where that film is at its strongest, because that's where Shane Black's at
his
strongest.
That's the great stuff he writes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so to see if this is going to be a similar deal where Lakeith Stanfield and Mark Wahlberg are going to be in a buddy cop scenario, I think this will work very well.
Well, I can tell you that it's going to be starring Mark Wahlberg as the hardened professional thief who is naturally double-crossed and left for dead. His hunt for revenge, however, brings with it a shot at the biggest heist of his career. But per the studio, even with the help of his partner, an actor-slash-con artist named Grofield, who will be played by Lakeith,
there we go,
he'll still need to outsmart a South American dictator, the New York mob, and the world's richest man if he hopes to stay alive.
Is it taking place at Christmas?
It doesn't say. I can try and find out for you. You never know.
Yeah, he's good when he's focused. He's a very funny writer as well. A lot of the comedy beats. Nice. Didn't he write The Nice Guys as well? Wasn't he involved with The Nice Guys? I swear he directed The Nice Guys. This is a thing I'm going to have to look at. You have the screens.
I was looking up something else, but I'll look up this now.
The Nice Guys, yeah, was his as well, I think. Tell me I'm right about this.
Yes.
Did he direct
which
it?
And by the way, Nice Guys is brilliant.
Did he direct it?
Yeah, he did.
So that's what I'm saying. So when you look at things like The Nice Guys, you look at things like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Lethal Weapon, he didn't direct, of course. Richard Donner, the late Richard Donner directed those, but based on his story. So he's phenomenal at buddy cop stories. And essentially, this isn't buddy cops, obviously, but it's duos.
It's a duo.
He's good at duos, and his comedy beats are perfect, and this looks like it will be very funny.
Certainly another one to look forward to. So very, very briefly, and I do mean very briefly, we're going to look at the Emmys, which have just gone. Succession and The Bear, which were huge, huge winners. I'll be honest with you, have you seen any of Succession? I haven't.
It's great.
I've heard it's very, very good. Really I just good. Haven't personally seen it.
Really
I have,
good.
However, seen The Bear, and I love The Bear. I think The Bear is brilliant.
Yeah, you did an interview, didn't you? You were across that. Yeah. They're both great shows.
Mm.
I don't think there's any discrepancies here. I think they're both, you know, both deserved. I don't think there's any more really that you can say on that other than no surprises, really.
They're both
stunning shows.
Yeah. Also, winners were RuPaul's Drag Race, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Daily Show with Trevor Noah was also a big winner, and also Beef. Beef was a big winner as well,
I saw that.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it, but the reason I didn't like it is because the characters were so entirely unlikable, which in turn says how great the writing and acting was, right?
Yeah, because that's kind of the point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't stand the characters in it, but they were meant to be entirely unlikable, so it goes to show you how well they all did.
Surely that makes that great.
Yeah, I know, but it's very similar to Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. It's one of the things that makes you angry, and I don't like things that make me angry, but it made me angry.
It made a lot of people angry, mate, which is why it's now in the...
In the public eye,
very much.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to have a look at some of the trailers that are out right now, and ooh...
Can we just say, before we move on to that, can we not just give a nod and a round of applause there to how art done correctly can make positive change?
Do you know what? Yeah, I mean, I know we spoke about this last week, but this is still going on in the UK, 17 days, 3 weeks after it came out on TV. And now this has been in the courts 15 to 20 years.
20 years.
And nothing has been done. It's been moved at a pedestrian pace.
Yeah.
A TV show comes out. And it's so well done, it literally encapsulates the whole of the country. And now it's, like we say, it's in Parliament and it's being pushed through.
Well, it turned all the lights on, didn't it?
Yeah.
There was nowhere for anyone to hide after that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, congratulations to that entire team. You know, job well done.
Yeah. That's when art can be useful and that it makes impacting change.
So having a look at trailers, the first one that I want to talk about is Abigail.
You all came highly recommended. You know the rules. No real names, no backstories, no cell phones.
So whose kid is she?
A very wealthy man who's about to be $50 million poorer.
I'm here to make sure you're safe.
What's your name? Mine's Abigail.
You can call me Joey.
Do you have any kids?
I have a little boy.
See you in 24 hours.
Do you know what a pinky promise is? If you behave and do as we say, I pinky promise you, it'll all be over soon.
Joey?
Yeah?
I'm sorry about what's gonna happen to you.
Yeah, I'm pleased for this and for the guys, because we've known for a while they weren't doing Scream
7.
Is it 7 we're up to now?
Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
Yes, it is 7. We knew that. I guess, I don't know if that's what we now know that that's why, but I'm glad, because it means that, I mean, I don't think anyone's doing Scream 7 at this point, are they? I don't think Scream 7
is. I think Neve's doing it on her own.
That'd sell. But so it's nice that it was nice that these guys, you know, they went from Scream to this.
And let's face it, they could have been one of those groups of people that just did Scream until it got to Scream 48, and that would have been their whole career's done.
The cool thing about this is that, you know, with Scream 5 and Ready or Not, which, as you know, I rate really highly, that team, that in terms of behind the camera, as far as I can tell, the whole behind the camera team from Scream 5 and Ready or Not, it looks, at a glance, it looks like the team has been reconvened.
Yes.
Was it called Radio Silence?
Radio Silence, yeah. Yep.
Including Brian Tyler, the composer, who's on this as well. So, yeah, they're doing what they do best. These kind of stories, you know, Ready or Not's great, Scream 5's great. I mean, bearing in mind, that was someone else's story to tell, right?
Yeah.
They just took, they it wasn't their world, they're just playing in it, right? So now they're back to what they do, which is tell these great horror stories.
I saw this trailer and I was literally, I mean, if you truly want to sort of scroll back through my tweets, I was like, capital tweeting and everything. Oh my God! Yes,
please. Bloodthirsty for something that's bloodthirsty.
Yes. So, just very, very quickly, it's a group of criminals. They are attempting to kidnap a ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, and they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they are locked inside with no normal little girl.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. The rumor is she's Dracula's daughter.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that would make a lot of sense. I love the trailer when, you know, she gets to talk with Melissa Barrera, who's in this as well. She's talking. Yeah, yeah. She's, oh, do you have kids? Yeah, I've got a little girl. I promise you that, you know, we won't hurt you. And I promise you that as long as, like, your dad pays up, then you're going to get out of this alive and well. She's like, oh, that's, I'm really sad now because what's going to happen next? You're not going to like it. I was like, oh!
Yeah, because it's like, yes. It's a whole interview with the vampire thing, isn't it? In that Kirsten Dunst's character, once she became a vampire, never aged, right? Yeah. So we don't know how, I don't know if it illustrates that in the trailer anyway. We don't know how old Abigail is. No. She could be 100 years old.
Yep.
There's just so much here you can play with. You know, it's essentially, I like, again, it's a rumour, but I like the idea that her dad is Dracula.
Could be very good.
And that's it's a Dracula story. It's a Dracula adjacent story.
I mean, like you say, you think Ready or Not, you think Scream 5, that the Radio Silence guys did an unbelievable job with those. So, yeah, I'm fully on board for this one. It comes out on the 19th of April. It's expected on the 19th of April. I am so sold. I am so looking forward to this one. It's got a fantastic cast. Everybody, the CGI in amongst the practical effects, etc. It all looks, looks top notch.
They're good with their practical. Yeah. They're very good with their practical as
a
well.
A nice combination of the two.
And Brian Tyler on the music again, which is great.
Oh, yeah,
looking forward to it.
Right, so then moving on, something else that we're all very excited about is the Amy Winehouse biopic, Back to Black.
Yeah, so this is, it's been interesting watching this evolve, actually. I know Eddie Marston's in it, which is great. I love him.
Yes.
Love Eddie. He's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, it's coming along leaps and bounds, I think. I'm very interested in it. I think we're going to get... As I understand it, because isn't her father involved with this?
I think he's been an advisor or something somewhere along. Yeah. He's been involved. I mean, Marissa Abella has done a fantastic job. It does show her singing in the trailer. Whether it's actually her singing or whether they've used Amy's voice, I don't know.
It's going to be a difficult one to.
Can you imitate Amy's voice?
I wouldn't blame them for miming.
Yeah.
Because how do you?
Yeah, yeah. What a voice! Yeah,
you would expect. If they came to us and basically said, "Oh, by the way, guys, this is miming," I'm like, "Well, fair enough," because that is an untouchable talent.
I mean, the trailer shows basically the start of her career. It shows, you know, becoming famous and meeting Pete and everything else like that. It shows the start of it all. Hmm. How far it goes along and how it, you know, does it show the drugs and that side of it? Well, yeah, I guess we'll see.
Are we getting Rocket Man or Bohemian Rhapsody? That's the question.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But either way, looking forward to that one again. Looks very, very good. That is expected on the 10th of May.
Yep. There we go. There's another one for the list.
Lots of good movies coming out in 2024. It's almost like we want to be talking about that type of thing a little bit later, isn't
it? Yeah,
almost. Yeah. And this one is really, really interesting.
Oh, this blew my mind. I saw this trailer completely by accident.
I know, right?
And then I was like, what is this? Adam Sandler's what? I like it when he's serious, though. He's so good.
So, of course, we are talking about Spaceman with Adam Sandler.
What's the Safdie Brothers thing he did?
Uncut Gems.
That's it, yeah.
Very, very
diamonds.
Good.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah,
very yeah. good. But the thing is, so they released a real teaser. Wasn't it literally 5 seconds of him walking through a swamp in a space suit?
No, and then they did another one which was just the spider peering around the corner of the
spaceship.
Oh,
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, there was one the day
before. Right, okay, that makes
a
lot more sense.
They were throwing you little breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
So there was one the day before yesterday at time of recording, where it just said trailer tomorrow, and it's just this epic spider peering around the corner from a...
So, it's very much in the... It feels very much like the Gravity vibe with Sandra Bullock. Adam Sandler is a man he's trying to do 6 months alone in space, isn't he?
Yeah, so it's almost like there's an interstellar vibe to it as
well. So he's after a certain period he starts to become a little bit delusional and you know, going a little bit stir crazy up there on his own.
Carey Mulligan as well.
Carey Mulligan plays his wife that he's thinking about all the time.
Was she Maestro also? She was... Well.
She was in Maestro. Yeah,
she's killing it right now.
She's very good, very
talented.
Ever
since Drive, she's just been phenomenal.
Yeah. But he starts to go a little bit crazy and he starts, am I imagining this or is this real and all that type of stuff. And then he starts to hear voices. Mm-hmm. And then the voices appear and they appear in a form of an absolutely ginormous spider.
Paul Dano.
Who is voiced by Paul Dano, yeah.
Paul Dano's not a huge spider. He just voices one.
So I guess, like very much like I say with Gravity, I guess you're supposed to be thinking throughout this entire thing, is the spider real? Is it not real? Is it in his head? Is it not in his head? Now, I'm going to go out on a limb. This is only my thoughts and opinions. I've only seen exactly the same as what everybody else has seen. I think that you are meant to think throughout the film that the spider is not real and it's in his head. And I think when it gets to the end of it, the spider will be real. That's only my thoughts and opinions.
Do you know... my nickname for... It's called Spaceman. That's its actual title. But I've already got a nickname for it, which is Gravity's Web.
Oh, he's done it again, ladies and gentlemen. He's done it again. Absolutely.
Gravity's
brilliant.
Web.
It's
Charlotte's Web and Interstellar and Gravity, isn't it?
I like that.
It might not be. It might be completely...
We could be completely
totally
wrong.
Totally wrong.
But I like that. I like that. So, that is out on March 1st. So not too long to wait. Is it straight to Netflix or is it cinema first?
I saw... comments for him the other day that basically said this needs to go to a theatre.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think the scope of that size of that spider.
Yeah, and like you say, I really enjoy serious Adam Sandler. I mean, don't get me wrong, his comedies and all that, fantastic.
No, I think
his serious stuff is very, very good.
It's good when he really gets into something.
Mm.
Like I say, Uncut Gems is
a
masterpiece.
So good. So good.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to have a very quick look at what is on at the cinemas. Right now, you have got the new version of Mean Girls, which, of course, for anybody that doesn't know, is a musical, because apparently there are still people out there that don't realise it's a musical.
It's a musical. It opened this week. At time of recording, it opened today.
Yes, it did, yeah.
It did. It opened today. It's had a Wednesday open. There you go. That tells you when we recorded this. Yes, it's it's open as of today. So that's out. We'll come back to you on that because we... No, that was another one that was screened during holiday.
All of this stuff got screened just before Christmas when we were away, yeah. In Broad Daylight, Werner Herzog, Radical Dreamer, which I believe is a documentary. In the End We Start From.
Yes.
Which is Jodie Comer. Looks very interesting. The Civil Dead and The Holdovers all out this week.
Holdovers, finally, mate. It's interesting because Holdovers is a Christmas movie.
Well, so I said something about this on Twitter a few days ago, actually. So they've just released The Colour Purple on digital download in America. And it's not out into the UK for another week or whatever.
Who was it I saw? Someone on Twitter. Because the thing is, 4Ks... aren't region locked. Fun fact.
So if you
4K discs aren't region locked, so you could order a 4K from the United States. Bearing in mind, you'll get stung in the shipping.
Have it shipped over, and
you can
whatever,
just play it on your 4K player. Yeah. So, and I can't remember. I saw someone on Twitter yesterday who had their copy of The Holdovers on 4K and Blu-ray arrive in the post to the UK yesterday.
Before it's even out in the cinema.
It's mental that I've just bought this to watch at home, and yet it's not even at the cinema in the UK.
Something needs to be done about that. It's just ridiculous.
It's usually scheduling, though. It's usually scheduling here. There's obviously a scheduling. There's a lot to come out here. Don't forget, we probably... I don't know. I mean, we probably have less exhibition houses than the United States as well. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, you could probably get way more out in a short space of time in the United States than you could hear in the UK. Because bearing in mind, we are not as big as America.
No, I know that, but when you think about the size of cinemas, the amount of screens that a lot of them have and all that, I just find it very, very strange that this type of thing is still happening. With the amount of piracy and, like you just say, about the 4Ks and everything else like that. So
I just find it strange. I can buy The Colour Purple and The Holdovers right now from America.
And have it shipped over probably within a few days, yeah.
And it's completely, you know, legal because... they're legal copies and they play on my player. It's interesting that you can do that, but obviously it's frowned upon. The other thing, of course, that often puts people off about that is the shipping.
I guess it depends how much the
disc that costs the money.
It will cost you a lot. I guess it purely depends how much you want to watch it, how quickly you need that in your life, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know a lot of soundtrack collectors that order things in large bundles. Because it's just like, if I'm going to get stung on the shipping, I might as well make it worth my while, right? Yeah. And they order like a bunch of vinyl and CD limited editions.
Release it on the same day, or at least within a week or so of each other.
Yeah, but we are in awards season, and oftentimes awards films are out in November, December in the States. They come here January. Mm. It's an odd one, but nonetheless, it is what it is. Holdovers is coming here this week. By Sean Wilson's account, it's incredibly good, and you must go and see it. So there we go.
Paul Giamatti winning all the awards.
Yeah.
All of the awards.
I would argue that that's probably going to be film of the week in terms of...
I would imagine it, yeah, if you're going to go and see... Yeah. There's a couple... I mean, like, depending on what your thing is. I mean, Mean Girls is doing very, very well. The End We Start From is supposed to be very good, but I dare say The Holdovers, if you're only going to see one film this week, it could possibly be
you and I, go and check that out and come back?
I will try. I will absolutely try my very, very best.
I've seen it's on at a very good time that works for you on Friday,
joy. Right, okay.
We've got to hang around, haven't we?
We've
got to... other stuff.
But anyway. Shindig. Let's talk about the one thing that I did see at the cinema. I saw Poor Things.
I'm the only one left in the world that hasn't seen this. Tell me.
Right.
I have this theory, right?
Okay, you tell me your theory.
Sean's like 5 gold stars.
I've seen,
And a few other people have said the same thing. But I have this theory that you're going to go completely opposite direction with it.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So for those that don't know, Poor Things is starring Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe. I'm going to mess this up and I apologise. Directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yorgos Lanthimos. That's very close. That's good for you.
It's a very interesting story about Bella Baxter, and her evolution. She is a young woman who has been brought back to life by an unorthodox scientist, Dr. Goodwin Baxter, and...
That's Mark Ruffalo, right?
That's Willem Dafoe.
That's Willem Dafoe, right.
That's okay. Willem Dafoe.
I'm with you now.
And you've seen the trailers, you've seen, you know, she's kind of learning to walk. She doesn't walk properly. She's learning to talk. She doesn't talk properly. And all of these bits and pieces, I'm really going to struggle to talk about this thing without giving away any big details.
Do you want some help?
So if what we'll do, we'll talk to our producer, Simon. Simon, if I say something that John then says, no, you can't say that. I want a nice big beep over it, please.
No. Okay, how about this? This will just cut all that out and take us straight to the point. Is it basically just a remake of Frankenhooker?
I haven't seen Frankenhooker. I've not even heard of Frankenhooker. It sounds like a film I want to watch.
Can I find it on a CD
website?
I think it was Arrow Video, actually. If you go to Arrow Video socials, they've done a shot-by-shot comparison of three shots from Poor Things.
Oh, really?
To something very similar in Frankenstein.
So, I did not know. I had not seen the graphic trailer, which literally is in front of my eyes as we speak.
So there are a bunch of people listening right now that have seen Frankenhooker and are going... Say no more.
Yeah.
I understand it's... Okay, so let's tiptoe through this gently. I understand it's very saucy.
It's beyond saucy. It's very borderline pornographic. I read a story just before, literally a day or two before I saw it, I read a story that a certain scene had to be cut for it to make an 18 certificate here in England. And the scene that had to be cut was children watching two adults having sex.
Oh, yeah, and I see now, yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, if that's been cut, wow, what am I going to see? So the film is 2 hours and 20 minutes long. I reckon for a good hour of it, Emma Stone is naked and having sex. Okay. And it's not shot in like an arty, nice kind of...
I feel like we just lost a bunch of listeners who have now run to the nearest cinema as a result of hearing that information.
Yes, I did not... I understood that it might be a bit saucy. I did
I'll
not expect how revealing this film would be. And much to, like, obviously Jennifer Lawrence was naked in a film in the summer. But that was literally for, I don't know, 10 seconds or whatever it is. Emma Stone is naked and having full sex, obviously acting, I would like to say, for a good hour of this movie. And I just sat there and thought, huh, didn't know. Didn't see it coming.
No. She's an experiment.
Good evening.
Her brain and her body are not quite synchronized. But she's progressing at an accelerated pace.
Tell me, where did she come from?
I shall. For it is a happy tale.
I am Bella Baxter, and there is a world to enjoy, circumnavigate. It is the goal of all to progress. Grow.
A woman plotting her course to freedom. How delightful.
Was it one of those, like with X or Pearl, where you're sat in a screening room and suddenly you feel very uncomfortable?
So I'll be honest with you. So the screening I saw was very early afternoon, and there wasn't very many people in there. I think there was about, I don't know, six or seven people in there with me. And on my row, a few seats along, was actually a mother and son.
Wow.
And they literally, so I sat there watching all the credits roll at the end, and they literally sat there and discussed it. And I was like, and the mother was like, I thought that could be quite uncomfortable, but it was more erotic than porn, wasn't it? And like, they literally had a full conversation about it. And I was like, oh, I feel uncomfortable listening to the conversation. But so what I'll say, and I said this about Killings of Flower Moon.
This is all
the killers of Flower Moon.
Very British, by
the way. Oh yeah, stiff upper lip. But no,
it's all very British. Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, I didn't overly like that, but I would never say a bad word about it. And if somebody gave it 10 out of 10,
yeah,
I would completely understand why and go, yeah, I can see where you went.
Okay.
I didn't personally enjoy this. It is not a film that I would watch again, which is surprising given the subject matter, I know. but I didn't enjoy this. I think there is a lot of this movie that is shot for art and for awards and bits and pieces like that for the sake of these things. Some of the camera lenses, you know, using a fisheye for a few seconds for absolutely no reason. And so the scenery, the sets are stunning.
Is it art for art's sake?
I think so, which is why... You listen, we had this with Tar last year, didn't we?
I was literally about to say, are we going to change our tagline to not everything has to be poor things?
Yeah. You're going to get critics and people like that who are going to give this film 5 out of 5 and 10 out of 10 and everything else like that, and they will love it. And I will not argue with them because they're not wrong.
Mm.
But then your average Joe that goes and sees...
Don't call our listenership average.
I'm calling myself an average Joe.
Okay.
Somebody
you
that
can
you
call
know,
yourself average, that's fine.
That goes to see what you would consider, in air quotes, normal films, will probably hate this. And that's just the type of film it is. It is very arty. It's very interesting. There are things that I'd love to talk about off air, which I'm not going to talk about on air because they're big spoilers. But I'm not going to say anything bad about this whatsoever. I would give it, and for me personally, I will give it a nice 3 out of 5 rating because there is a lot about this film that I love. Like I say, the... Emma Stone is winning awards for a reason. She's fantastic in this. The scenery, the cinematography, some of it's really good, some of it I'm not so sure about. There is a lot of really, really, really good stuff in this film.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that I just found strange for the sake of being strange.
Jessica Fendrick's score is amazing as well. Mm. I have heard
that. Yes.
I like the score.
So
obviously.
I think if you like art films, you'll probably love this. If you are much more a Fast and Furious or, you know...
Popcorn cinema.
The Beekeeper that was on last week.
Popcorn cinema,
you know,
yeah.
Popcorn,
well, you're an action
beer
junkie.
And, yeah,
so
I do love my action films, yeah.
And horror.
But I was talking to a friend about this and I said, when it comes to these type of films, I'm not one way or the other. I sit in the middle. Some I like and some I don't like. I would not say that I'm one way or the other.
Yeah.
This, whilst I... That's my saying... There's films that I enjoy and there's films I appreciate.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a film to be appreciated.
Yeah. It's art.
Yeah. It is.
This is art in essence.
Yeah.
At work. I will go and see it. I'll check it
out.
And
I think you'll probably enjoy it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think.
Like
I say,
if anybody says to me that they enjoyed this film, I would probably say I can 100% understand and agree with you. Yeah,
goes that way. Sometimes I see something sort of 3 months for anybody else, and I feel like, oh, is that out now? Because it feels like an age ago. And then sometimes I'm the last person on the planet to see something. Mm. So there's this assumption that you or I will always, especially me,
I think it just,
working
it,
in
it,
what it, I'm working in. But there's always this assumption that, oh, you must have seen everything already like 10 years ago. No, actually, there are things that slip through the cracks, and sometimes those things are huge.
Well, we literally spoke about this last week. We're doing that Oscar catch-up, aren't we? You're seeing what's nominated and trying to catch up with films, yeah.
And actually, we're in a kind of, and as you could probably tell from this podcast, we're in a place where we're actually splitting them up in piles between us. There's going to be some things that he didn't see that I didn't. I didn't see that he did, because just for time.
Mm.
So we've
you can't
split
see
the
everything.
Workload.
You can't see everything.
Yeah.
So
sometimes
much
I think we'll do the holdovers together though, because I kind of think that's something we're going to enjoy.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I would give Poor Things a 3 out of 5, but if anybody else gave it a 5 out of 5, I wouldn't question it. I would completely understand.
3 out of 5 from you for Poor Things. 5 out of 5 from Sean Wilson for Poor Things. I guess what hangs in the balance is what I see now. I want to go because now I kind of feel like I need to address
but I
the
think
balance
between myself and Sean. You probably exactly know what you're going to walk into, and you'll be able to judge it evenly.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'll end up being the 4. You watch.
Yeah, probably.
You watch.
Probably,
I'll end up being the 4. Well, we'll see. I'll come back around to you.
Right, so that's cinema reviews this week.
Yeah, that's got an 18 certificate.
18
unsurprisingly.
as I've just said, you know what you're going to walk into now.
La La Land fans with teenage children, no.
Do not go. No. Do not go. Right, we're going to look at the world of streaming. There is one film coming to streaming this week that I managed to kind of note anyway. I don't know if there might be some other bits and pieces, but The Kitchen, starring Kano.
Right,
and directed and written by Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes, Daniel Kaluuya. I'm interested in this. I only knew about this. I know you've been talking about this for a while, but I only knew about this recently.
It just looks very interesting. I'm looking forward to watching it over the weekend. It's set in a dystopian future in London where all social housing has been eliminated. So they have to fight to navigate the world as residents of, and again, The Kitchen.
Lord of the Rise?
Could be interesting because nobody's going to kind of leave their home in case anybody else moves into it.
High Rises, Lord of the Rot. No.
I got it. I just ignored it.
Yeah. Right. Not as good. Fine.
They can't all land.
They can't all win, Paul.
I did that the other day. I had a comedian on the show and I can't remember what the joke was now, but I made a joke. Oh, that was it. They have a podcast called What Are We Obsessed With This Week or something. And yeah. I said, that was a strange title for a podcast about stalkers. And the two comedians just looked at me with deadpan faces. And I was like, okay, that joke didn't hit. Right, let's move on.
No.
Right, so what is out on streaming right now, going back to Netflix, we have got Lift with Kevin Hart, directed by F. Gary Gray, and also featuring the absolutely amazing Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I've heard different things from different people.
What have you heard?
All sorts.
Okay.
A very mixed bag. A pick and mix of reaction.
So Kevin Hart and his team have to steal $500 million in gold bullion from an airplane. There's been a lot of these films, and we've spoken about this, they all seem to be on Netflix, ironically, where they...
Home of the Three.
There's a heist, and it literally takes them all over the world. So they seem to go and shoot in Bangkok for 2 weeks, and then Rome for 2 weeks, and then Canada for 2 weeks, and they put this film together where they're going all over the world doing all of these things. And this is exactly the same. It's a thoroughly enjoyable Friday night with a pizza or a glass of wine or, you know, a takeaway.
Did
or
I
whatever.
Just call it?
You did, yeah.
It's a three.
It's an enjoyable three. Watched it with the wife Friday night. Got to the end of it and both went, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's fine. If you're going to have a night in with your other half or on your own or whatever you're going to do, pizza, takeaway, bottle of beer, glass of wine, whatever you're going to have, it's fine. It's enjoyable. And that's all you need to say about it, really.
Looks like the sort of thing you'd watch on a Saturday night down at ABC. That sort of thing. Yeah, looks fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
That's it. There's nothing more to say about it. It's completely fine. It's the one thing I did find really, really strange about it, actually, was the fact that Kevin Hart, I think, makes one joke in the entire movie. He plays very, very straight, which is strange to see from Kevin Hart. I think there's literally one joke and that's it.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, it's just strange.
We literally just said that it works for Adam Sandler.
It does work for Adam Sandler.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Works for Adam Sandler.
Kevin Hart wants to be serious? Let him be serious.
Let him be serious. So that is on
the
Netflix.
Rock won't let
him. No. He needs to team up with The Rock again very, very soon. Mm. That's on Netflix right now. If you've got Netflix, you may want to watch that. Listen, I know I've said a couple of bad things, but it's fine. It's absolutely fine. You'll enjoy it. If you have got Amazon Prime, there is Role Play starring Kaley Cuoco and David Oyelowo. I said it wrong again. I said it right earlier. David Oyelowo. That's right, isn't it?
David Oyelowo.
A YOLO. All right, okay, I've been saying it wrong. And a very...
You did very well earlier. You're getting better.
I try so hard. And it's got a great cameo from Bill Nye, by the way, in this. Really, really good 10-minute cameo from Bill Nye.
I learned a fun fact the other day. So do you remember Virtuosity with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe?
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's a gem.
Okay.
It's a video gem. It did go to the cinema. That was a VR movie. You remember when we went through that phase in the 90s where VR, you know, the Lawnmower Man came out and Madness. The guys behind the Lawnmower Man did this movie called Virtuosity, but it went to Paramount. It had a huge, you know, reasonably huge budget. And Denzel Washington was a convict who had been convicted because he was wrongly accused. He's an ex-cop. And then what happens is the VR serial killer in the VR, who is comprised entirely of all the personalities of all the worst serial killers ever made, is played by Russell Crowe.
Oh, right.
Finds its way out into the real world. And of course, very Demolition Man, do you know what I mean? And the only person that can stop him is someone that's hunted and tracked serial killers before. And so this whole thing. I have this thing with virtuosity. I know it wasn't very well received critically, but I have this love affair with it. I just love it. It's one of those... I just really like it. I know it's probably at best of three, but every now and again, at least once a year...
Where did that come from?
I'll watch it. It's connected. So... And then recently it had an anniversary and I was very, very lucky. Christopher Young, the composer, I managed to get him on a New Year's show 1 year, and we talked about the score to Virtuosity and Peter Gabriel, who's connected with it and everything else. And it was really, really nice. So anyway, recently I was on my kind of annual rewatch of it and I noticed there's a scene in which Denzel has to rescue his partner's child who's been kidnapped by Russell Crowe. And I've been watching this movie for years, and it took me until this year, bearing in mind this movie was 95, right? And it's taken me till this year to notice that the child that's kidnapped is Kaylee Cuoco.
Oh,
I didn't notice until this year. I was like, how long have I been watching Big Bang Theory and everything else? Well, and I never made the connection.
So
I watch this film once a year at least.
So my knowledge of Kaylee Cuoco goes back to Eight Simple Ways of Dating My Daughter, which was what she did before Big Bang Theory. She's the kid
that Denzel Washington has to rescue from Russell Crowe in the movie.
So she's literally been acting
and
since...
And I didn't notice... Yeah. 1995, that
was. Wow.
And I didn't notice it. Even then, and we did a deep dive on it because of the Christopher Young Composer Series special and everything, because it was Virtuosity's anniversary. Bearing in mind, he's famous for, like, Hellraiser and all these other ones, and Nightmare on Elm Street. And no, the one thing I want to talk to him about, this small movie that everyone missed, right? But no, and then even then, I didn't notice it then. Although, and I swear, that weekend, I had watched Big Bang Theory and still
ironically,
put two
yeah,
and two together.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was just a thing I noticed the other day. I was like, oh, wow, that's Kaylee Cuoco. Like, and now here she is doing this. And then...
Well, the thing is, obviously, after the Big Bang Theory being so huge... She's trying to branch out and to get away from things. And I know she did very well. Was it the flight attendant?
Which was awesome.
So she the way that I liken this is somebody who's slightly older as a Jennifer Aniston. She's trying to break away from Rachel Green is what she's trying to do. She's trying to create roles of her own.
Which I think Jennifer's done now with the
movie. I think so. So I haven't seen it, but apparently there's a film called The Family Plan with Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
So apparently they're a happily married couple. He works away for work a lot and then finds out that he's an assassin.
Yes.
So basically this is a role reversal where Emma, played by Kaylee Cuoco, has got a lovely family and she goes away for work a lot. And then one day somebody is trying to kill her. And that's where Bill Nye comes in. And she's an assassin. That's basically the kind of the be all and the end all of the film. What I will say is David Oyelowo is superb in this.
I agree with you. When is he not?
But imagine he's playing a husband who's just going about his daily life.
Is it True Lies?
I don't know if I've seen True Lies.
You've never seen True Lies?
Maybe I have, but I don't. I know it's Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't think I have.
It's Arnie. It's James Cameron.
Maybe.
It's James Bond.
Maybe. But yeah, so they're going about their daily life. They got kids. Literally, the mundane things that we all do in our daily lives. And then he finds out that his wife that he's been with 12 years and married to 7 years or whatever it is.
So yeah, like Total Recall, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
His reaction is just... phenomenal. It's superb. He goes through literally every emotion that you could imagine, and it's very, very good.
I'm Jack.
Alice.
Do you and your wife role play often?
What exactly is this about?
Do you know this man?
No.
Jack Bob Bob Jack.
Pleasure.
He just talked for 5 minutes
to all the victims of her charms,
and then he left.
The one and only.
Hey, where are you?
I'll be right back.
The wife's real name is Anna Peller. Wanted for contract killings across several continents.
I'm sorry.
Very good. His reaction, by the way, his performance is very, very good.
I wonder if Mr. and Mrs. Smith was made 10 years earlier, that would have been Arnie as
well. Well, yeah.
Arnie's very good at being in a movie where either he's lying to his partner or his partner's lying to him.
There are a lot of films like this, to be fair.
Yeah.
I want to say I really, really like Kaley Cuoco. I think she's very good in a lot of things she does. I don't believe that this is her best performance. I didn't really believe that she could be an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't quite come across that way, if that makes sense. The guises and, like, you know, the Tom Cruise Mission Impossible ripping the face off and different wigs and all and different contact lenses. She does all of that very, very well. Mm. I just didn't believe her action sequences that much. Okay. So that's on Amazon Prime. It would get a 2.5 out of 5 from me.
Ooh.
Not awful, not terrible, not great either. If you've got Amazon Prime, it's exactly the same as if you've got Netflix, watch Lyft. If you've got Amazon Prime, watch this. Glass of wine, Chinese takeaway, whatever you want. And it's okay. It's worth watching for David Ayolo.
I need to give a shout out to Echo, because Marvel Studios Echo is now on Disney Plus. All 5 episodes. It's a limited series. So all 5 episodes are available straight away on Hulu if you're the other side of the world. But Disney Plus here in the UK. And it is great. If you like Daredevil and Punisher, it's very much in that world. And, Marvel Comics fan. It's part of their Spotlight series where they're, you know, she was a Marvel Knight anyway in the comics. So, very interesting. Really liked that, by the way. We did something recently with the composer, Dave Porter, who also did The Blacklist and Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, of course, which is his big breakthrough. But it was nice. It's nice to revisit the Marvel universe in that respect, because it was a really great story. So that's Marvel's Echo. If you like Daredevil and Punisher, Marvel's Echo is for you. It's on Disney Plus right now.
And then very finally, we're going to talk about One More Shot, which is out on digital download right now as well. Scott Adkins, James Nunn directs it. It is the continuation of One Shot, which saw Navy SEAL Jake Harris go to Poland and capture a terrorist. And now basically it's the continuation of that story where he's bringing him back to Washington, D.C. for interrogation. And the whole film is basically about him taking him off the plane and trying to get him out of the airport without being ambushed.
See, this is a sequel, isn't it?
It is a sequel,
because
it's
One Shot.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
The one thing that I didn't realise, silly of me, I know, the one thing I didn't realise, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, what's going on with the camera? It's all one camera, one shot.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a continuous
yeah, yeah.
sequence,
that's
a continuous
glorious.
Series. And again, I have to say, much to my sort of the same as what I thought about Beekeeper the previous week, when I went into this, I'm really not expecting a lot, but it turned out actually quite enjoyed
it. Honestly, like a lot of Scott's catalogue, this is the thing, and I will try. I really would love to Scott, because we've had Scott here at Expressive M, in the Expressive M studio. I think that was over COVID time, so he bought a movie out on streaming. But I am actively pursuing having Scott come back and talk to us. But also Liam O'Donnell, who's a film director who I admire very much, and they've just made a movie together. So that is an active protocol. But I always say this, don't sleep on Scott Adkins.
Mm.
He is awesome. He's got a really good podcast, by the way, if you look it up, an action podcast. And he talks, he's had everyone on there. Keanu Reeves has been on there. Of course, he was in John Wick.
Yeah, he was, yep. yep.
With he was great. All that makeup as well. Trying to do that through all that makeup. But many things I want to ask him about, of course. But he makes really great action films.
And that's exactly what this is. I was watching it. I mean, don't get me wrong, storyline-wise, it's not the most ingenious of storylines. But the action stuff in this, and as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, you know, obviously you can see it is a one-shot movie, but you can see a few things where they probably had a little splice here. And I was thinking to myself, the choreography for the fighting is through the roof. To learn this choreography must have taken long.
Like, yeah, for sure.
So long. The simple thing is with this one, if you liked One Shot, you'll like One More Shot. If you like action movies and stuff that you can maybe turn your brain off at the door, sit and watch it, enjoy it, popcorn, beer, etc., etc., you're going to like this movie.
It's Scott Adkins.
Yeah. You know what you're getting. You're going to like it.
What was the vampire thing with Jamie Foxx a little while back? Do you remember that?
No.
It was on Netflix, a vampire movie.
Oh, yeah, I do remember, yeah.
It was Scott Adkins and the brother. They were like Russian vampire hunters,
yes,
or something.
Yeah.
Their cameo stole the whole film.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is a vampire hunter.
Yeah,
well,
you never would have thought that with a Jamie Foxx film about vampire hunters. But yeah, no, I know exactly where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah, again, Scott, like people love that. They're like, oh, do you want a sequel to this movie? And people are like, yeah, but we will take a Scott Adkins and his you know, the Russian vampire hunter brothers movie. We'll take that all day long. So yeah.
So no,
good on him.
Enjoyable, a solid 3 out of 5. Much the same. If you love your action movies, would definitely recommend this one. And right at the end of the movie, our old friend Neil Linpal pops up.
Ooh.
Yes, he's only got a very small role in this movie, but as you are about to hear, if there is another one, which I don't see any reason why there's not going to be another one of these films, then our friend Neil will tell you a little bit more about it. So I am joined again by Mr. Neil Linpal. Neil, we're making this a little bit of a habit now, aren't we?
You just can't get rid of me.
So the reason you're back this week is to talk about the film One More Shot, which you star in with Scott, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I will be honest. I mean, I have a much sort of a smaller kind of role in this than I did in Little Burn Lodge. But, you know, not sure how much I can say about it, but provided that the film does what people hope it does, there'll be another one. And my character is kind of he's the character that kind of leads you into what's going to be a continuation of the story.
Okay, that's very exciting. Well, tell us a little bit about One More Shot, if you can.
Well, One More Shot is a sequel to One Shot, which came out in 2021, directed by James Nunn, or written and directed by James Nunn, and it was a sort of a one shot or seemingly one take action film, high octane, starring Scott Adkins, about a Navy SEAL unit that go to a black site in Poland to collect a terrorist suspect, and they are besieged by terrorists. And it's one of those films that, you know, like, I kind of, when I was asked to talk about One More Shot or to look at the script and stuff, I hadn't seen One Shot. So I went and watched it, and I was blown away by how, you know, how kind of caught up and it's how it moves. It just moves so quickly. And I was really, you know, really pleasantly surprised at how much fun it was to watch. And I thought that from a choreography point of view, it was just really well constructed. And it was just a really enjoyable kind of feet up action film, you know. So when the opportunity came to do something in the second film, I just had a baby, and I didn't have a lot of time, but the part kind of meant that I could go in very quickly and then, you know, come back hopefully again. So it just made perfect sense. I had the opportunity to go and do that, and in the second film it kind of picks up directly from the first film, where Scott has now sort of, I suppose, mild spoiler alert if you've not seen the first film, but we are talking about the second one. He's bringing this terror suspect back to the US mainland, and it all goes wrong very quickly at the airport. So this film is all set, it's basically like Assault on Precinct 13 set at an airport, with Scott this time on his own without the help of his Navy SEAL team, and he has to basically sort of keep this terror suspect and his pregnant wife, who has been brought in to use as leverage against him, alive over the course of the film. So, yeah, I mean, it's just sort of picks up where things left off. And you know, interesting, another sort of great connection for me is that the DOP on the film is the same DOP that I began my career with, my journey with, that I talked about on the first podcast we did with Little Bone Lodge. He shot Little Bone Lodge 2, and now he's gone on and done this film. So that was just kind of a nice sort of bit of coincidence and serendipity that we got to work again together. And I think he's done an amazing job on this film in how he kind of keeps everything, like, it's so high octane to be able to maintain that for almost 90 minutes of moving across action sequences where you're kind of drifting from one side of the battlefield to the other, so to speak. So you're spending some time with the terrorists or the assailants, and then you're back with Scott, and it's just really well done. And I think that I think again, it's going to sort of sit in that camp of people that enjoy action films that are sort of relatively simple in their storytelling, and just get you straight into the action and then let it rip.
Well, the one thing that I've been saying a lot lately, especially with films like this, is, you know, not every film needs to reinvent the wheel. Sometimes you just need, John calls them beer and pizza films, which is exactly what they are. You know, you kick back on a Friday night, few beers, a pizza, and you just enjoy a good old-fashioned action movie. And that's exactly what this is. So just, I know, like you've said, you've mentioned, you've not got a huge part in this, but just tell us a little bit about the character you play.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's exactly what I was kind of alluding to as well, is that it's just fun. It's just a fun film that's not going to tax you, you know. And I mean this with the utmost sort of like positivity. It's not going to sort of require that you're looking out for every single detail. You're just going to be able to enjoy the film. And, you know, and I think that's it's not always the case. You watch films that sometimes are really good films, but they're not enjoyable to watch.
Yes.
And this is a lot of fun. My character is an FBI agent that has been dispatched by, sort of soon as this terrorist sort of attack kind of kicks off, a call goes into Scott's kind of commanding officers back in Washington, who then dispatch this FBI agent and a SWAT team to sort of kind of be the kind of the cavalry, I suppose. But as ever in these sort of films, the cavalry don't always turn up exactly on time. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm sure it's going to be an absolute success. Like I say, the first film was you know, did exactly what it said on the tin. It's got its fans. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm sure this one is going to do exactly the same. And I'm sure we'll probably be talking about this in, what, maybe a couple of years or something like that. And we'll be talking about the next one as well. So, Neil, thank you so much for talking to me.
No problem. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. People who like the first one will like this one. I think it's the first film, but just done again, bigger and better.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's worked very well for Fast and Furious, right?
Exactly.
Neil, thanks so much for talking to us here on We're Gonna Need a Bigger Pod, and I look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Yeah, as always, mate. Thank you so much.
Neil Limpow there talking about One More Shot. Thank you very much for talking to him. That is out on digital download right now. So let's have a look. Speaking of digital, let's have a look at our digital 4K Blu-ray and DVD. What is coming out? So you've got Children of the Corn, which is the 2020 movie. That's out on Blu-ray and DVD. Mean Streets is getting a 4K Blu-ray and DVD re-release. That is a classic, classic movie. The Creator is getting a 4K Steelbook, Blu-ray and DVD. Now, I didn't overly like the storyline of The Creator, but what I will say is visually it was stunning.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah.
La Bamba is getting a Criterion Collection release.
Oh!
The Mandalorian Season 2 getting a 4K Steelbook release.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, The Wicker Man, get this, is getting a 50th anniversary 4K Blu-ray and DVD release. 50 years.
No.
Oh. Oh, what a film. What a film, though.
Yeah, collector's edition. I'm all over that.
Right, so we're here. Thank you very much for sticking all the... I don't know where that came from. Hoo-ha. I've got absolutely... We're here.
Hoo-ha.
That was a Boise... Marlene. We're here at the end of the podcast.
Yes, we are.
So it is time to look at our most anticipated movies of 2024. You could say they are our tip top five movies.
And the Oscar goes to Paul Marsh for carrying John Brown through this podcast. Anyway, yes, there's too many.
Oh, is that it? It's over. We're done. Right. Thank you very much for listening.
We're going to need a bigger pod. Tip top five.
There are too many. I mean, come on.
We had a look. There's a few bits and pieces floating around. And don't forget, these are the only films that are listed to come out. There's more films to come out that are not even listed yet. So
I had a list somewhere and I was looking through. I made a list, sorry.
Have you lost it?
Yes,
do you want me to go?
You can clearly hear that I'm looking for it. But yes, so in essence, I got it down to about 30. I'm not sure.
So I don't actually have my five. What I do have is seven. So there's two that I've got to drop from my seven.
Okay, well, which two? Don't tell us.
I don't know.
Don't tell us.
Right, so I'll do my top five. Okay, tip top five most anticipated movies of 2024. Let's have a look at this. Right.
Yes.
I will go with A Quiet Place Day One. Can't wait for that.
Ooh.
Really, really excited to see Krasinski back. Paddington in Peru, because after Wonka, I am excited about Paddington in Peru.
Krasinski isn't directing Quiet Place Day One.
No, but he's in it. Because it goes back to that.
It's a prequel, yeah.
Joker, Folie à Deux. I absolutely love the original Joker. Very much looking forward to that. So how am I going to drop from these? Oh, no. Right, okay. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire.
Yeah, you do.
One more. The Fall Guy.
Okay.
That's my five.
Now tell me what you're missing.
So there were loads, but what I narrowed it down to, the other two that I've just dropped, is One Love, Bob Marley, because I'm a big Bob Marley fan, and a Despicable Me 4.
Okay, well, I'm not going to do these in an order because I don't think that's fair. Also, we don't know.
Mine weren't in any order. They were just my five.
Okay, all right.
This is where you speak rather than just make noises.
No, my Skeksis noise from Dark Crystal. Okay, here's what I'm going to go with. I'm definitely going to say Beverly Hills Cop.
Axel F.
Yeah,
or Axel Foley. Yeah,
definitely, because I love that. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is a given, I think, at this point. Deadpool 3.
Yeah, almost made my list.
That's definitely on my list. Okay, how many have I had?
Three.
I've had three. All right. Ooh, I will go with Argyle.
Do you know why I didn't include that? Because it's literally a matter of weeks away, which is why I didn't include it in my top five.
And other than that...
One to go.
I get one. Ooh. Furiosa.
Ooh. It's a good top five. It's a good top five.
It's a good top five. You did get two that didn't quite make it, though, so I kind of feel like I should level
But you that asked me. I did. You can't now list every film that's out for the rest of 2024.
No, you got two.
Go on then.
So let me drop another two in there that I'm quite keen on. Bad Boys 4 in there.
Good shout.
And Dune Part 2.
Oh.
There we go.
It needs to be good. Right, so that is our Tip Top 5s. It is time for our listeners.
Tip Top 7.
Tip Top 5s. The We're Gonna Need a Bigger Pod Listener's Choices. Right, so here's our listeners' Tip Top 5s, and I guarantee as I read these lists out, both you and I are going to be going, oh, I should have put that in my top 5. Oh, I should have put that in my top 5.
Go on.
Right, so we're going to start with Julia Minty, whose top 5 in no particular order are Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, The Beekeeper, which I'm assuming she sent this before she's probably been to see it because it's out now.
She has seen it now, yes.
Yes. Beetlejuice 2, Argyle, and Baghead.
Baghead's an interesting
one. Yeah, I know. That could be very good. Gary Pine has said Megalopolis.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Drive Away Dolls.
Interesting.
Presence. Mickey 17, which looks good.
Yeah, it does.
And Bike Riders, which looks very, very good. And he said, is there any news on a Jumanji film?
That was Julia.
Oh, that was Julia, sorry, that said any news on a Jumanji film.
I can ask.
I haven't seen or know anything about that.
Well, I can't tell you if I'll get an answer.
Yeah.
But by all means,
I think it would be nice because me and my family, we watched both Jumanji films, or both the Rock and Kevin Hart Jumanji films. We watch them all the time.
Nice if that rounds out to
excellent,
a trilogy.
Excellent family film. So yeah, it would be nice to get a third one from that. Our very own Simon Bruce. Simon, you legend. Thank you very much for your five. Simon's are Axel F., Dune Part 2, The Fall Guy, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which is Guy Ritchie's movie, which I do wonder if that's going to kind of be his Inglourious Basterds movie.
Maybe.
And Argyle.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think we're all looking forward to that one, aren't we?
Yeah, it's
very, very good. Wayne Johnston. Wayne Johnston's five are Deadpool 3, Argyle, The Fall Guy, Furiosa, and If almost made my list as well. Very much looking forward to that.
Very good.
And finally, James Secker has said Havoc, which I've got to be honest, I don't know about that one.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to look up on that one. Zone of Interest, which again is kind of out, but it's not out, if that makes sense. Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. The Strangers, Chapter 1. And Ballerina, which we were talking about earlier. So he said he's on the fence about Roadhouse. I think a lot of us are kind of on the fence about that one.
I'm not sure about that yet.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But
Jake Gyllenhaal looking very ripped for that at the moment.
Oh, is he ever, yeah. Right, thank you very much for all of your messages. We do greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you want to get involved in next week's, keep an eye on our socials, because around about at the halfway point, somewhere usually over the weekend or on Monday night, then we'll post what we're going to do on the next episode. And what our next Tip Top 5 is.
There's Askexy again. Right.
Are you just making sounds until we've run out of time?
Have you ever seen The Dark Crystal?
No.
We'll get you on that. So far, that's Dark Crystal and Virtuosity in your homework. Anyway, thank you very much to Simon Bruce, the legend that is, for making sure this is all edited and mixed and mastered, and for all our wonderful jingles and making us sound very cool. Thank you to you, sir. Thank you very much to you, Paul. Also, thank you to you that's listening right now. We really couldn't do it without you. Thank you to Expressive M Studios, who have left us alone today, which is great. Yay. Not that they know.
Well, no, sometimes we just, sometimes we do have like people looking through the windows. No, but no, today we have been left on all our lonesome.
Oh, I know. I kind of feel like they're just used to us now. Anyway, also thank you to the View Cinema and Gunwolf Keys here in Portsmouth, of course, for their help with and support with films and making sure we've seen everything. You can find your nearest View Cinema at myview.com. I think I thanked everybody this time.
And if not, it's in the blog, okay. In the bio.
Oh, I forgot the postman again.